Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the pathway to panic. Now, listen very carefully to what I am saying and what I am not saying. I am not trying to tamp down. I'm not trying to, in any way, slough off the reality of the coronavirus and its danger to the citizens around the globe, and especially to we, the people in the United States of America. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying to you, and wanting it to be heard very, very passionately and very clearly, that there's a motive behind the madness that we're seeing in the national news and how it's being reported and what's being done through the fake media. And I believe it's been promulgated through the media from the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party in order to hype Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. They're taking a crisis, and they've said so many years now with the leftists, don't ever let a good crisis go to waste. And that's what they're doing. They're using the crisis. It's like you're watching a magician on the stage carrying out a magical act. He wants you to watch in the right hand, but he doesn't want you to pay attention to what he's doing with the left hand, or vice versa. And that's what we see taking place today, I believe, in America. And it's not that we're not concerned for those that are ill. It's not that we're not to be concerned and pray for those that are gravely ill. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. When we look at this in comparison to what we've seen in the past with different viruses, it pales in significance completely. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is taking place with the panic. Harvard University now moves to online courses and even tells the students to move out of the out of their dormitories. We find New York literally cordoning off and a containment zone in New Rochelle, New York, with the National Guard out to guard and to make sure you don't come and go. Seattle officials now putting in isolation and quarantine and even scheduled to do isolation and quarantine on an involuntary basis. That is, if you whether you want to or not, we're going to quarter you off. And ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says churches are closing their doors, live streaming services for congregations so that the congregants can avoid the coronavirus. You heard me right. This article is about 5 or 6 pages, and it tells about multitudes of churches that are considering it. But this particular one, with the number of coronavirus cases on the rise, Aaron Tank and his wife, Rachel, held church at home on Sunday. Tank called on the family to stream worship songs for their kids. The songs also sang along music on YouTube before praying together. Next week, they'll stream sermons online also. We've never done anything like this before, he said. We're trying to recreate the structure of a typical Sunday because it becomes part of our weekly cadence. Thankfully, technology has helped us to do so. The Tanks are among many in the pockets of America who have to modify religious plans. Notice, modify religious plans over the weekend in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak, which has killed more than 3,000 people and sickened many more globally, this article says. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the pathway to panic. We're watching the panic-stricken news media that's hyping the panic, and it's causing even churches to close. And ladies and gentlemen, once 2 or 3 larger churches say, we're going to cease to desist services, even smaller churches will think, well, they must know something we don't. They must be wise. They're wiser than we are. So let's do the same thing. You'll find, ladies and gentlemen, if this lasts another 90 days, you'll find across America a totally crippled economy, a devastated economy. You will find churches that will be crippled, devastated, and some that will never be financially capable of reopening, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning. I spent 20 years in the military, and in the 70s and 80s, I was aware of an international circumstance that once I got out of the Air Force and researched, realized that my concerns were dead on. Now, here's what that is. I realized they were dead on because I was able to connect with a fellow Christian man who happened to be right at the top of the national security system and had retired. But his job was to do something called create disinformation. This information can be used to protect you as well as it can be used to destroy your enemy. And what you're talking around or about today is the topic of disinformation. Most people who are educated, most people who deal from a factual basis in life, those people who have a background in the Bible and world history understand, as you do, what's being presented today as a crisis has a whole different objective than preventing a virus that provably is just a low case of the flu and will have no greater impact, will have no greater impact than other cases in the past. Yes. There is a reason behind what is happening, and that's what needs to be probed. Why would, and I have a hunch you're fixing to do this, why would we be witnessing such a massive case of disinformation, such a massive attempt to create hysteria in the population, to create a circumstance in which a booming economy for the first time in a long time is being threatened for no reason at all, just because people stop the process of buying and selling and going about their daily routines. The event that I referred to in the late 70s, I can't openly discuss, but there was an attempt by a certain party internationally to do something that probably would have destroyed the world. And the U.S. was the only entity that would have been able to stop it. And thankfully, it appears that this disinformation program created by this particular agency worked. And we survived long enough for the election of one Ronald Reagan that eliminated the circumstances that had created the problem. Now, putting that aside, let me just simply say this. If we begin to project ahead and ask the question, why would this disinformation, this in a negative disinformation, be being put out, I think as a dispensational, not theologian, because I'm certainly not that, but as one who understands the processes of dispensational theology, I can think of a lot of reasons because of things that are going to happen in the very immediate future to begin to set up an explanation for them in advance. Well, let's just brainstorm for a minute. For instance, the promises that are found in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, specifically to the church of Philadelphia, when it says, I will keep you from the hour of trial or testing that's going to come upon the whole earth, or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it is, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
There's an event that's about to take place globally, which number of people are going to disappear. But in association with those, that particular event afterwards, lots of people are going to get sick. Lots of people are going to die. Lots of bad things are going to happen. And so I believe that this disinformation that we see today is directly, and I'll say it a third time, is directly caused by Satan himself to begin to explain those inexplicable events that will soon take place that will usher in 7 years of the greatest peril this world has ever been in, the greatest terror it has ever seen. And I believe that the one who stands in the way of that process, or the entities that stand in the way of that process beginning, is one Donald Trump and one United States of America, one Benjamin Netanyahu, and one nation of Israel.
Yes.
And so my belief, however odd it may sound, is that the disinformation that we see taking place right now is aimed not at stopping a real virus that threatens the world. It is aimed simply at causing what God has said is going to happen in the future to be explained and discounted in some other terms. This is a period of disinformation. One final comment. Were I privileged to be a pastor, and I wasn't, but were I privileged to be a pastor, one of the first things I would do in my church is take every, let's say, male member, because we're responsible to be guardians, every male member of the church that could read, and who is academically competent, and I would let them pick one of the 66 books of the Bible to be an expert in. And they would pour themselves in their spare time into studying, even if it was a small book of Jude or the book of Philemon, or someone went to the 66 books of Isaiah, or were brave enough to tackle all the Psalms, 150, I believe. Whatever, each man would have responsibility for one book of the Bible, so that the composite understanding in that church would represent the whole counsel of God. And then I think we would begin to be able to see quickly through the disinformation that's coming, because according to the Bible, more and more and more of this stuff is going to happen, isn't it?
Yes,
we
absolutely.
Look at the prophetic scriptures carefully. It's
absolutely.
Here, folks. It's here. And if you don't understand what Dr. Youngblood is talking about when he speaks of dispensational theology, if your church believes that the book of Revelation and associated prophecy is behind us, you're in grave danger. Grave danger.
Yes.
We need to understand that what's happening today, this acceleration of stupidity that people are believing and buying, these events like those that stood before us in the Democratic debates, never, ever would have been part of this American process in the past. It is God's signal to those who are aware. Let him that heareth understand. Let him that readeth understand. It is God's message to us that we're in those days when a false doctrine, when disinformation will go out, and the hearts of men will fail them for fear. Fear is not a part of the lexicon of Christians, except in the context of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Men need to be reacting right now to what God is allowing them to see, to view, and understand that only with our eyes will we behold and see the reward of the wicked, Isaiah 3:10, or all of Psalms chapter 91. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. And Isaiah 3:10 that I just misquoted is heavy, but tell the righteous it will be well with them. So I'm done talking. Thank you for allowing me to do it. But if I were a pastor, I would assign every competent male member of my church responsibility for one book of the Bible, just one, and make sure that they knew it first to last.
Amen.
And that we often declared to the world around us, look up, your redemption draws nigh. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen. Thank you so much for that input. You're right on target. What we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, what was just stated by our caller, is that we're watching the setting of the stage for what shall be, because one of the things that I had already thought of in relationship to watching the cities and the states and setting up carted off zones and involuntary sequestration and quarantine. We're watching the setting of the stage because, ladies and gentlemen, if I could do a fast forward with a little prophecy in mind with the eschatological thought, there's coming a day after the church is raptured out, millions of billions will be missing around the globe, and the Antichrist will have with an iron fist control, and I believe we're setting the stage, desensitizing the people for what is to come in relationship to that particular prophetic possibility and potentiality in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. It says, after infected priest gives communion in U.S. church, 550 parishioners involuntarily are voluntarily sequestering, quarantine themselves. And the article is pretty lengthy, so I'll just touch on the headlines of it. But what we're saying, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the pathway to panic. And it's a purposeful panic modus operandi that's taking place. It is where we see universities closing, universities sequestering their students, universities sending the dorm students home, et cetera, et cetera. Churches closing. Major sports events are being canceled. Companies are canceling any business trips. But ladies and gentlemen, we're listening today. What I'm talking about today is realizing, want us to realize that the coronavirus is to be taken very seriously, but we know that the virus has no vaccine as of today. We know that globally we have about 4,000 deaths and over 250,000 that have been infected with the virus. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says corona fatality rate is jaw-droppingly low for most people. And it goes on to talk about a study on the initial onslaught of the coronavirus in China shows that the virus infecting people around the globe appears to be selective in who it kills. The Chinese data shows that 87% those infected were between ages of 30 and 79. Meanwhile, 0.9% were 9 years old or younger, 1.2% were those teens, and 8.1% were those in their 20s. The fatality rate, the number who died, as a percentage of the overall number infected, also skewed toward the elderly. And it goes on to talk about the extremely, extremely low, low rate of those that are dying as a result of the coronavirus when you look at the total numbers of those infected, ladies and gentlemen. Now listen very carefully, and I don't expect you to be able to memorize this, but I'm going to go down a list. And it seems like every election year, a serious virus comes up. For example, the SARS virus in 2004, avian virus 2008, swine flu in 2010, MERS in 2012, Ebola in 2014, Zika in 2016, Ebola again in 2018, coronavirus now in 2020, and all of them, ladies and gentlemen, happens to take place on election years. Now, these are facts, and I'm reading from a whiteboard that was posted in a physician's office that listed that every election year has a disease, and it lists the diseases in the years, and it says coronavirus has a contagion factor of 2, SARS virus was 4, and measles a contagion factor of 18. Now, how many times have you seen entire cities being sequestered and setting up the National Guard to quarantine a whole area because of measles? Coronavirus has a cure rate of 99.7% of those under 50 that are infected. Coronavirus spread is leveling off globally. This is a virus or a viral, just like pneumonia, but it's being hyped as though it's the Black Plague and just as though the end of the world's coming, but it happens to be just before an election and during an election year. So that is the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that I want to call our attention to and spend some time on in the discussion of that. Why is it taking place in that realm? Why is it happening on that basis? Ladies and gentlemen, the flu has killed some 20,000 Americans this season, yet there's been no alarm. There's been no alarm bells. There's been no quarantine. There's been no isolation. Here's an article that covers it pretty well. The flu has killed 20,000 Americans this season alone, and no one is panicking. No one is talking about it on television. So why is the lowly coronavirus causing the stock market to crash? End quote. Goes further in this article, nothing about the coronavirus remedy remotely approaches any metrics for something we should be afraid or terrified of. Yet the stock market is crashing, oil prices dropping, and the panicked customers buying the groceries from shelves, making shelves bare as their hoarding begins. It's a very real virus, but it's also a very false flag being flown. End of quote. Then the article further says the headline on Drudge Report this morning, a gathering of news headlines from around the globe are all screaming a single united message. That message is that the coronavirus is a plague of biblical proportions, and it has already begun to destroy indiscriminately and on the global level. Only one thing is it's not doing anything remotely close to that. So why is everyone terrified? Why is there panic? End quote. If you want something to be afraid of, here's something to keep you up at night. During the current cold and flu season here in America that is still going on, the flu has killed over 20,000 people, with 136 children numbered among them. Think about that, 20,000 Americans dead from the flu. Yet no one is calling for a flu for any flu sufferers to be quarantined. No one is talking about emergency measures to be taken. They want you to be afraid of the coronavirus, but the question begs to be asked, why? And this article says, let's think about that. The CDC said so far this season, 34 million have gotten the flu, and 20,000 have died. Now, 34 million contracted the flu. 20,000 have died. Of those who died February 29th, 136 were children, CDC said in its weekly report. The Center for Disease Control said the hospitalization rates among young children were the highest on record, surpassing the rates of those reported in 2009 when there was a so-called pandemic of the flu then. liberals have famously said that a good crisis should never go to waste. And so we can certainly presume that includes a manufactured crisis as well as an organic one. This is not a new phenomenon. All the way back to the end of the 19th century, the rich and the powerful were creating them left and right. Back then, it was called the yellow journalism and the fake news of that day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm setting the stage and want you to understand there's a motive behind the madness that we see taking place on the national scene, with the news media being the ones at the point of the spear hyping that. Dr. Drew says the press should be held accountable for the coronavirus panic. They're hurting people, he said. Listen carefully. Celebrity physician Dr. Drew Pinsky isn't changing his tune about the novel coronavirus, declaring Monday that the news media should be held accountable for the damage they're doing to people's lives and to the damage they're doing in the economy by overhyping the virus. A bad flu season is 80,000 dead. We've got about 18,000 dead from influenza this year and have 100 from the coronavirus. Which should be worried about, influenza or corona? 100 versus to 18,000. It's not a trick question, he continued. Look around. That's going on. And the New York cleaning the subway and everyone using Clorox wipes, and get your flu shot, which should be the other message. That's good. That's a good thing. So I have no problem with those behaviors. What I have a problem with, Dr. Drew says, is the panic and the fact that businesses are being destroyed and destroying people's lives being upended, not by the virus, but by the panic, he explained. The panic must stop. The press, they really somehow need to be held accountable because they are hurting people. Dr. Pinsky went on to call on the news media coronavirus coverage irresponsible and far too excessive, his words. And he downplayed the severity of the illness, saying several people in this building probably have it and don't even know that they have the virus. They're trying to gin up the coronavirus at an election time. The hysteria over the new virus is real, is the real disease. Why is it being hyped so much? Let's talk conspiracy. The economy was much of an obstacle for the Democratic candidates when this all of a sudden became a pandemic in the news media and as they hyped it. Ladies and gentlemen, he touched on it perhaps more succinctly than I would have. It is because we're in an election year, and you go back and look at most all of the hyped viruses were in election years. And ladies and gentlemen, here's another article. Dr. Drew and Dr. Oz ignore the coronavirus panic, they said. Just be reasonable. Dr. Drew still fired up about the coronavirus, specifically the media's unconscionable role in causing panic, and suggest you turn to just one group for advice. And Dr. Oz agrees with that. Dr. Drew insists coronavirus is being overblown, especially compared to the normal flu, end quote. Dr. Oz makes a compelling point about the corona fears, telling us when people instructed not to panic but aren't given much instruction otherwise, they're going to panic. You hear that? Dr. Drew says when the media tells people not to panic and the politicians say don't panic and you keep saying don't panic, those instructions are going to cause people to panic. So his instruction includes worrying about stuff you can control and help make sure folks and sick patients have necessary resources to combat the virus. And he goes on to talk about the need to wash your hands, et cetera, et cetera. And most of us should know that, should have learned that from childhood and know what we ought to do in that realm of cleanliness. There's a few doctors, ladies and gentlemen, that are warning about the hyping of the virus. This article, I've got a lengthy article. I'll read a blurb or two for your edification, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the virus. It's the system that's the problem. The coronavirus has dominated the news for over the last several weeks. Every new case is hyped. Every quarantine is trumpeted. Even death is then covered on the front page. Some people are convinced that it is the bug that will wipe out all of humanity. Others point out this is just a variety of the flu and that death rate will likely be lower than the normal viruses. I've heard reactions from both sides, he says, and some of the reactions saying, you're all going to die, you're all going to die, end quote. The most loathsome reaction, of course, are those trying to make political hay out of the situation. And worse, those who hope that the virus will do the dirty work. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, some are hyping it on the basis that we need to have global population control and that this is a godsend for global population control. It will destroy the infirmed and the elderly and put us on the fast track for being lowering the global numbers of people, ladies and gentlemen. So there are all kinds of folks out there that's looking at it with a different vantage point. Here's probably the best thought that we can look at and understand what's taking place. Nancy Pelosi criticizes Trump over coronavirus, but teeming outdoor homelessness in her district in San Francisco may just become ground zero for the outbreak in the United States of America. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, this article says, is criticizing President Trump over his response to the coronavirus, but she needs to look a little closer at home to see where the real problem is. She is a congresswoman from San Francisco area that has a massive outdoor homeless tent population and an area of the country already teeming with diseases like bubonic plague. The homeless there openly defecate on the streets and amid the squalor of the once beautiful city. The coronavirus comes to Nancy Pelosi's district. Cases will spread like wildfire. And he goes on to talk about the number of cases already in San Francisco and what's taking place. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says President Obama declared a national emergency to deal with the rapid increase in illness from the H1N1 virus 6 months after it began, April, and 1,000 people died before he took action. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go back and check the record. In fact, some have said that's not true. Some have gone to Snopes or Snoops, however you want to call it, and Snoops is also saying that it's not true. But I've got a fistful of articles here that was on front page news, it was on headline news with CNN, talking about the virus and the danger and how many people had died. In that case, in 2009, President Barack Hussein Obama did nothing for 6 months, and during that 6 months, 1,000 American citizens died before he took action and doing anything about it to try to save lives in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, coronavirus shows insanity of the green movement and reusable cups. One good thing is coming out of this, ladies and gentlemen, if I can touch on this in these last few seconds. Starbucks is now saying they're going to discontinue using their reusable cups. They're going to discontinue using the reusable straws. They're going back to the throwaway straws and throwaway cups. So there's something that's good upside to that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again, we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.